Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale titled The Widow's Trap. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1, The Mourning Veil. The late afternoon sun cast a golden glow over the Hawthorne estate, its pristine white walls marred by the flickering lights of the emergency vehicles parked in the driveway. Neighbors gathered at the edges of the wrought iron gate, their whispers filling the air with a mix of sympathy and morbid curiosity. Inside, Vivian Hawthorne sat curled on the living room couch, her hands trembling as she clutched a lace-trimmed handkerchief. Her red-rimmed eyes darted between the two paramedics bustling near the staircase and the figure of her husband, Gregory, now shrouded under a sterile white sheet. Tears streamed down her pale cheeks, creating an image of heartbreak so convincing that no one dared question its authenticity. Detective Eleanor Grayson stood at the edge of the scene, her sharp eyes taking in every detail. The staircase, winding and grand, was adorned with a few drops of dried blood, leading to the shattered remnants of a whiskey bottle near Gregory's head. The man himself lay in a crumpled heap at the base of the stairs, his neck bent at an unnatural angle. Grayson's partner, Officer Lucas Boyd, scribbled notes furiously in his notepad. "She's good," Grayson muttered under her breath. Boyd raised an eyebrow, glancing between the detective and Vivian, whose sobs seemed to grow louder. "Who?" Boyd asked. Grayson shook her head. "Nothing. Just something about this doesn't sit right with me." She stepped closer to Vivian, whose tear-soaked face was turned toward the window, as if trying to block out the horrific scene behind her. Grayson crouched to meet her at eye level. "Mrs. Hawthorne," she began softly, her tone gentle but firm. "I'm Detective Grayson. I know this is a terrible time, but I need to ask you a few questions. Do you think you're up for that?" Vivian sniffled and dabbed at her eyes. "I'll try. I can't believe he's gone." "Of course," Grayson said, nodding. "Why don't you tell me what happened?" Vivian's lips quivered as she began to speak, her voice breaking at all the right moments. It was an ordinary afternoon. Gregory came home early from the office, which was unusual for him. He said he wanted to relax for once. He poured himself a drink and went upstairs to change. "I was in the kitchen preparing dinner when I heard," she paused, her hand clutching her chest as though reliving the moment. "Take your time," Grayson said, her pen poised over her notepad. "I heard this horrible crash," Vivian continued. "I ran into the foyer and saw him lying there. The bottle was shattered, and he wasn't moving. I tried to wake him, but she dissolved into tears, her shoulders shaking as she covered her face with her hands." Grayson waited, watching Vivian closely. Her story was compelling, but something about the scene didn't add up. Grayson's gaze shifted to the staircase, then back to the whiskey bottle shards. It was subtle, but the glass appeared too far from Gregory's body to have been dropped during the fall. A small detail, but one that nagged at her. "Did Gregory often drink whiskey?" Grayson asked casually. Vivian hesitated for the briefest moment before nodding. "Yes, it was his favorite. He always said it helped him unwind after a stressful day." "I see. And did he seem upset about anything today? Anything out of the ordinary?" Vivian shook her head vehemently. "No. He was in good spirits. We were even planning a weekend getaway to the lake house. It doesn't make sense. He was fine, Detective. He was happy." Grayson offered a small smile, though her mind raced with questions. She straightened and signaled Boyd to step outside with her. Once they were on the front porch, away from Vivian's earshot, she turned to him. "What do you think?" Boyd asked. Grayson crossed her arms, her gaze fixed on the neatly manicured lawn. "I think Vivian Hawthorne is either the unluckiest woman alive, or she's hiding something." "Come on," Boyd said, skeptical. "The guy tripped and fell." "It happens." "Maybe," Grayson replied. "But something about her doesn't feel right. She's too perfect. Too composed, even in her grief." Boyd sighed. "You always think something's off. Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar." Grayson smirked but didn't respond. Instead, she turned back to the house, her eyes narrowing as she studied the grand facade. This was no ordinary case. She could feel it in her bones. Inside, Vivian wiped her tears and stood, her reflection staring back at her from the ornate mirror above the fireplace. She straightened her posture, her expression hardening for a brief moment before softening once more. As she turned to glance at the staircase, a faint smile played on her lips, a smile so fleeting it could have been imagined. The trap had been set. All she had to do now was wait. Chapter 2, The Web of Lies. The warm glow of a fireplace flickered across the grand sitting room, its ornate mantle adorned with silver-framed photographs of Gregory and Vivian Hawthorne. Each image told a story of a perfect life, trips to Paris, charity galas, and quiet moments at the lake house. But tonight, the photos seemed to mock the grief-stricken widow seated at the center of it all. Vivian's friends and neighbors filled the room, murmuring condolences and offering platters of casseroles and baked goods. She played her part flawlessly, her tear-streaked face a canvas of heartbreak. Every hug she accepted, every murmured, "thank you," was meticulously calculated. The harder she cried, the more sympathetic they became, and sympathy was her shield. Detective Eleanor Grayson stood at the edge of the room, sipping a cup of coffee she hadn't touched. Her sharp eyes scanned the crowd, noting the ebb and flow of the conversations. She watched Vivian closely, observing how her sorrow seemed to ebb and flow as if on cue. It wasn't suspicion that brought Grayson here tonight, not officially anyway. She had come under the guise of following up on her earlier questions, but in truth, she couldn't shake the feeling that Vivian Hawthorne was too perfect. "Detective Grayson, isn't it?" Grayson turned to find herself face to face with a woman in her 60s, her steel gray hair pulled into an elegant chignon. Her piercing blue eyes sparkled with intelligence. "That's right," Grayson replied, extending her hand. "And you are?" "Margaret Wells," the woman said, shaking her hand firmly. "I was Gregory's business partner for nearly a decade." "A terrible loss. What happened?" "Yes, it is," Grayson said carefully. "You must have known him well, then." "Very well," Margaret replied, her gaze shifting to Vivian, who was surrounded by a trio of concerned friends. "Though I must admit, I've always found Vivian to be something of an enigma." Grayson raised an eyebrow. "How so?" Margaret's lips curled into a knowing smile. "Oh, just, she has a way of making you feel as though you're the only person in the room, doesn't she? But behind those eyes, there's always something else. Something she's not saying." Grayson filed the comment away, her curiosity piqued. "Did Gregory ever mention any troubles at home?" Margaret hesitated, glancing around to ensure they weren't overheard. "Not in so many words. But there were signs. He seemed distracted lately. Preoccupied. And then there was the matter of the life insurance." "Life insurance?" Grayson repeated, her tone sharpening. Margaret nodded. "About a month ago, Gregory asked me to recommend a good broker. Said he wanted to update his policy. I thought it was odd at the time, considering he already had a substantial policy in place. Did he say why he wanted to update it?" "He claimed it was for tax purposes," Margaret said, her expression darkening. "But now, well, I can't help but wonder." Grayson's mind raced. If Gregory had recently changed his life insurance policy, it could mean a significant payout for Vivian. She needed to confirm this detail, but not here. "Not yet." "Thank you, Margaret," she said, her voice steady. "You've been very helpful." Margaret's eyes lingered on Vivian one last time before she moved to join another group of mourners. Grayson turned her attention back to the widow, who was now seated beside a man in his 40s. He leaned in close, his hand resting lightly on her arm as he whispered something in her ear. Vivian's lips curved into a faint smile, the first genuine emotion Grayson had seen all night. The man was unfamiliar, but his body language suggested intimacy. Grayson made a mental note to identify him later. As the evening wore on and the guests began to trickle out, Grayson found herself alone with Vivian in the dimly lit sitting room. The widow's expression was one of weary exhaustion, but her eyes remained sharp, calculating. "Detective," Vivian said, her voice soft but steady. "I didn't expect you to stay so late. Is there something you need?" Grayson set her coffee cup down on the edge of the mantel, meeting Vivian's gaze head-on. "I just wanted to follow up on a few things. Your husband's life insurance, for example. Were you aware that he recently updated his policy?" Vivian's eyes widened, but only for a moment. "Yes, of course. He told me it was for tax purposes." "Why do you ask?" "Routine inquiry," Grayson said smoothly. "It's standard procedure in cases like this." Vivian's lips tightened, but she nodded. "I see. Well, I'm happy to cooperate in any way I can. Good, Grayson replied, because I'll likely have more questions in the coming days. For now, I'll let you get some rest. Vivian stood, walking Grayson to the door. As she opened it, she hesitated, her gaze lingering on the detective. You're very thorough, Detective Grayson. I appreciate that. Just doing my job, Grayson said with a faint smile. Good night, Mrs. Hawthorne. As Grayson stepped out into the crisp night air, her mind buzzed with questions. The pieces of Vivian's story didn't quite fit, and the widow's polished demeanor only added to her unease. She knew one thing for certain: Vivian Hawthorne was hiding something, and Grayson intended to find out what. Chapter 3: Shadows of the Past. Detective Eleanor Grayson stared at the stack of files on her desk, each one meticulously arranged in neat rows. Gregory Hawthorne's case had taken root in her mind, refusing to let go. Something about the man's death and his widow's polished sorrow gnawed at her instincts. It was time to dig deeper, beyond the polished surface Vivian had so carefully constructed. Grayson flipped through Gregory's financial records, her pen tapping rhythmically against her notepad. The recent life insurance policy update caught her eye again. It wasn't just the substantial payout that raised flags. It was the timing. The update had occurred just weeks before his death, doubling the policy's value. To Grayson, it reeked of premeditation. Grayson, Boyd called from across the bullpen. Got something you might want to see. She stood and crossed the room to Boyd's desk, where he gestured to his computer screen. I ran a background check on Vivian Hawthorne, like you asked. It's clean, mostly. Mostly? Grayson asked, leaning over his shoulder. Boyd clicked on a document. Before she married Gregory, she was Vivian Carter. Lived in 3 different states over the past 15 years. And get this, she was married twice before. Grayson's brow furrowed. Divorced. Boyd shook his head. Widowed. Both husbands died under unusual circumstances. First one, Stephen Marks, fell from a hiking trail in Colorado. Rule an accident. Second one, Daniel Price, drowned in a boating accident. Both cases closed with no suspicion of foul play. A chill ran down Grayson's spine. And now Gregory. That's 3 husbands all dead. What are the odds? Boyd whistled low. Pretty damn low. Think she's got a pattern. If she does, we'll find it, Grayson said, her jaw tightening. Give me copies of those case files. I want to see if there are any common threads. As Boyd set to work, Grayson returned to her desk, her mind racing. If Vivian had orchestrated her previous husband's deaths, what had been her motive? And more importantly, how had she managed to avoid suspicion for so long? Later that evening, Grayson found herself parked outside the Hawthorne estate. The sprawling mansion loomed in the darkness, its windows glowing softly. Vivian had returned from Gregory's wake hours ago, and the house had remained quiet since. But Grayson couldn't shake the feeling that the answers she sought were locked inside those walls. Grayson's phone buzzed, breaking the silence. She glanced at the screen, Boyd. What VE you got? She asked, answering the call. Pulled the files on Stephen Marks and Daniel Price, Boyd said. Both deaths were ruled accidents, but there are inconsistencies. Marks's fall happened on a trail he was supposedly familiar with. No witnesses, and Vivian was the one who called for help. Same with Price. She claimed he fell overboard after drinking too much, but no one else was on the boat. She was the only witness both times. Grayson's grip on the phone tightened. And the insurance payouts. Substantial, Boyd replied. She collected over $1 million from Marks's policy and nearly $2 million from Price's. Add Gregory's policy, and we're looking at a woman who's walked away with a fortune. Damn, Grayson muttered. She's not just lucky, she's a pro. What's the plan? Boyd asked. Grayson stared at the mansion. I need to get inside that house. There's something she's hiding, and I'm going to find it. The next morning, Grayson arrived at the Hawthorne estate with a search warrant in hand. Vivian greeted her at the door, her expression a perfect blend of surprise and indignation. Detective Grayson, she said, her voice laced with feigned politeness. To what do I owe this visit? Grayson held up the warrant. We have reason to believe there may be evidence in your home related to your husband's death. This is a standard procedure in cases like this. Vivian's eyes narrowed slightly, but she stepped aside. By all means. I have nothing to hide. Grayson and her team moved through the house methodically, searching every corner. Vivian watched from the sitting room, her calm demeanor unshaken. But as the hours passed, Grayson began to wonder if she'd been wrong. The house was immaculate, every detail meticulously curated. Then, in Gregory's home office, Grayson found it, a small locked drawer in his desk. With Vivian's reluctant consent, they forced it open, revealing a stack of documents and a USB drive. The documents included correspondence with an attorney regarding the life insurance policy update. But it was the USB drive that caught Grayson's attention. Back at the station, Grayson plugged the drive into her computer. It contained a series of encrypted files, along with a single video file labeled for Eleanor. Heart pounding, she clicked play. The screen filled with Gregory's face. He looked tired, his eyes shadowed, and his voice strained. "If you're watching this, it means I'm dead," he began. "And if Vivian's involved, you need to know the truth. She's not who she says she is. There's something dark inside her, something she hides behind that beautiful smile. She told me she'd kill me if I ever left her. I didn't believe her. Maybe I should have." The video ended abruptly, leaving Grayson staring at the screen. The pieces were falling into place, but one question remained. How far would Vivian go to keep her secrets buried? Chapter 4: The Tightening Noose. Vivian Hawthorne's world began to shift as subtle ripples of doubt crept into her carefully crafted facade. Detective Eleanor Grayson's questions had grown sharper, her eyes lingering just a moment too long, as though dissecting every word and gesture. Vivian had been through this before. She knew how to play the part. But this time, something felt different. As she sat alone in her kitchen that morning, staring into her untouched cup of tea, she replayed Gregory's voice in her mind. His threats, his accusations, the arguments that had become more frequent in the final weeks of their marriage. He had underestimated her, like all the others. Vivian's fingers tightened around the delicate porcelain cup. She'd come too far to let a nosy detective ruin everything. Detective Grayson leaned back in her office chair, her gaze fixed on the transcript of Gregory's video. The message had been chilling, a direct accusation against his wife. Yet it wasn't enough to convict her. Grayson needed something tangible, something irrefutable. Her phone buzzed on the desk. It was Boyd. "Got something," he said without preamble. "Remember the USB drive? IT cracked the encryption on the other files. Turns out Gregory had been digging into Vivian's past. Bank statements, property deeds, even private investigators' reports. He was building a case against her." Grayson's pulse quickened. "Anything useful?" "Plenty," Boyd said. "Looks like Vivian's been transferring money to an offshore account for years. And get this, Gregory wrote an email to his attorney 2 days before he died, saying he planned to confront her about it." Grayson's jaw tightened. "That's a motive if I ever heard one." "Keep digging, Boyd. I'll see what I can do on my end." That evening, Grayson arrived unannounced at the Hawthorne estate. Vivian opened a door, her expression unreadable, but her polished demeanor firmly intact. "Detective Grayson," she said smoothly. "To what do I owe the pleasure?" "Just a few follow-up questions," Grayson said, stepping inside without waiting for an invitation. Her eyes swept the room, noting the subtle changes since her last visit. The air felt different, tighter, more controlled. Vivian gestured toward the sitting room. "Would you care for tea? Coffee?" "No, thank you," Grayson replied, her tone brisk. "I'll get straight to the point. We've uncovered some new information about your husband's death. Specifically, about the financial irregularities he was investigating before he died." Vivian's expression didn't falter, but Grayson caught the flicker of tension in her posture. "I'm not sure I understand." "What kind of irregularities?" Grayson pulled a folder from her bag, laying it on the coffee table. "Bank statements, offshore accounts, payments to untraceable entities. Gregory knew about them, and he was planning to confront you." Vivian's eyes darted to the folder, but she didn't touch it. "This is ridiculous. Gregory and I shared everything. There was nothing to confront me about." "Is that so?" Grayson leaned forward, her gaze piercing. "Then why did he feel the need to document everything? Why did he record a video naming you as the person who might kill him?" For the first time, Vivian's composure cracked. Her lips parted slightly, her breath hitching. "A video?" Grayson didn't answer. She let the silence hang, watching as Vivian struggled to regain control. When she finally spoke, her voice was steady but cold. Gregory was paranoid. He had issues. He'd been under a lot of stress at work, and it affected his judgment. Whatever he recorded, it was probably just nonsense. "That's one explanation," Grayson said, standing. "But I have a feeling there's more to it. And I'll find out what that is, Mrs. Hawthorne." Vivian followed her to the door, her expression unreadable. "I hope you do, detective. I have nothing to hide." As the door closed behind her, Vivian exhaled shakily. She moved to the fireplace, staring into the dying embers. Grayson was getting too close. It was time to act. That night, Grayson received a call from Boyd. "We've got another break," he said. One of Vivian's former employees just came forward. Claims she overheard Vivian talking about Gregory's life insurance policy weeks before his death. Said something like, "It'll be enough to start over." Grayson's grip tightened on her phone. "Where can I find this employee?" "She's willing to meet you tomorrow morning," Boyd said. "But Grayson, be careful. If Vivian is behind us, she's more dangerous than we thought." Grayson stared out her window, the city lights twinkling in the distance. The noose was tightening around Vivian Hawthorne, but Grayson couldn't shake the feeling that the widow wouldn't go down without a fight. This wasn't just about solving a case anymore. It was a battle of wills, and Grayson was determined to win. Chapter 5: The Widow's Trap. The morning dawned cold and gray, with a promise of rain hanging heavy in the air. Detective Eleanor Grayson sat in her car, parked outside a small coffee shop where Vivian Hawthorne's former employee, Samantha Reed, had agreed to meet. Grayson's fingers drummed on the steering wheel as she replayed everything she'd uncovered so far. Gregory's video, the offshore accounts, the damning statements from Samantha. The net was closing around Vivian, but something still gnawed at her, a sense that the widow wasn't done playing her hand. Samantha arrived on time, a petite woman with nervous energy and a habit of glancing over her shoulder. Inside the coffee shop, Grayson wasted no time. "Tell me everything you know," she said, her tone firm but reassuring. Samantha hesitated, wringing her hands. "I worked for the Hawthorns for 3 years, mostly helping Vivian with events and errands. She was always intense, controlling. But a few months ago, she started acting different. Paranoid, almost." "What do you mean?" Grayson asked, leaning forward. "She'd ask me to pick up mail from a P.O. box, but she'd get angry if I looked at the envelopes. And one time, I overheard her on the phone. She was talking about Gregory's life insurance, saying how it would be enough to start fresh." Samantha's voice dropped to a whisper. "I didn't think much of it at the time, but now." Grayson's jaw tightened. "Did you ever hear her mention anything about Gregory's death? Or any plans she might have had?" Samantha shook her head. "No, but she's smart. She wouldn't let anyone get close enough to figure out. But I found something." From her bag, Samantha pulled out a small notebook. "She left this in her office once. I know I shouldn't have taken it, but something told me it was important." Grayson flipped through the pages, her heart pounding as she read. The entries were cryptic but damning, mentions of payouts, coded references to Gregory, and chillingly, a line that read, "If he becomes a problem, I'll handle it." "This is exactly what I needed," Grayson said, closing the notebook. "You've done the right thing, Samantha. Stay low for now. I'll be in touch." Later that afternoon, Grayson and Boyd stood before a judge, presenting the evidence they'd amassed. Between Gregory's video, the financial records, and Samantha's testimony, they secured an arrest warrant for Vivian Hawthorne. As they drove to the Hawthorne estate, Grayson couldn't shake the feeling of unease. Vivian had been too calm, too composed throughout the investigation. She would have known this moment was coming. When they arrived, the mansion was eerily quiet. Grayson knocked on the door, her hand resting on her holstered weapon. Boyd stood beside her, his expression tense. After a long pause, the door creaked open. Vivian stood there, her hair neatly styled, her makeup flawless, wearing an elegant black dress as if she were attending a funeral. "Detective," she said, her voice smooth and unbothered. "To what do I owe the pleasure?" "Vivian Hawthorne," Grayson said, her voice firm. "You're under arrest for the murder of Gregory Hawthorne." Vivian's lips curled into a faint smile. "Murder? Mama, that's a bold accusation." "Turn around and place your hands behind your back," Boyd ordered. As he stepped forward with the cuffs, Vivian's gaze flicked to the staircase. Grayson followed her line of sight and froze. At the top of the stairs stood a figure, a man, disheveled but unmistakably alive. Gregory. Grayson whispered, her mind racing. Vivian's laugh was low and cold. Surprised, detective? You should be. Gregory's not dead. But thank you for playing your part so beautifully. Grayson's pulse thundered in her ears. What the hell is going on? Gregory descended the stairs slowly, his movements stiff. She made me do it, he said, his voice trembling. The insurance, the fake death. It was all her idea. Don't be dramatic, Vivian said coolly. You were more than willing once I explained how much we'd make. But then you got cold feet. Weak men always do. You're insane, Boyd muttered, his hand on his gun. Am I? Vivian's smile widened. Or am I simply better at this game than you? Grayson stepped forward, her gun drawn. This ends now. Both of you, hands where I can see them. But Vivian's expression didn't waver. Careful, detective. You might not like how this ends. In one swift motion, she grabbed Gregory by the collar, pulling him between her and the officers. Her hand dipped into her dress, emerging with a small, sleek pistol pressed to his temple. Drop your weapons, or he dies, she said, her voice icy. Grayson's heart raced. She met Gregory's panicked eyes, searching for a solution. You don't have to do this, Vivian. It's over. No, Vivian hissed. It's far from over. In the standoff that followed, the mansion's facade of perfection crumbled, revealing the chaos within. The widow's trap had been set long before Grayson arrived, but the detective's resolve remained unbroken. One way or another, she would see justice served.